As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello and welcome to Front and Nationwide. This is The Athletic's dedicated Blue Jackets podcast. Aaron Portzine with you on it's a warm and sunny Thursday afternoon. I'm in Florida, and I don't want to complain because I know it's kind of nasty up there in the north, but it's a little too warm down here. Mid-80s already. What happened to springtime? Blue Jackets tonight in Sunrise to start a two-game trip. It's a short trip. It is not an easy trip. Florida tonight in Sunrise, as I mentioned, and then they head up to Raleigh to play Carolina on Friday before heading home for a Sunday tilt with Pittsburgh. We will be joined momentarily by the great Pierre LeBrun, who works for us here at The Athletic, as well as for TSN as a national NHL insider. We'll get to PLB in a few minutes, but first, we've got some news to get to with the Blue Jackets over the last 24 hours. Some tough news, in fact. Zach Werenski will miss at least the next two games tonight for sure. Carolina, for sure, he is not on this trip. He has an upper body injury, suffered Tuesday in the OT win over Toronto. The Blue Jackets are currently without Alexander Texier, Jake Bean, Eric Robinson, Elvis Merzlikins, Jonas Korpisalo. It's a pretty banged up group, but honestly, I think Werenski might be the biggest blow yet. He plays half the game almost. He's a great puck mobility. I think one thing that's really shined, and I almost wrote this for today, I'm glad I didn't because maybe that story would not last very well. They've gotten so much better at getting the puck out of their zone quickly, and obviously Werenski is a huge part of that. So losing him, especially against this Panthers team that loves to go, and will take chances to try to overwhelm you in your own zone, this could be a tough one for the Blue Jackets. Gabriel Karlsson steps into the lineup tonight for Werenski. Nothing set yet on the pairs, but here's what we're thinking it's going to be. Gavrikov and Peak, they skated together in practice on Wednesday. The other pairs looked like, and again, this is tentative, but possible, Kukin and Boqvist, and then Bayreuther and Karlsson. So that's a pretty beat-up group, and again, when you take the name Werenski out of that mix, it doesn't quite look as strong as it did before. Jackets have lost twice already to Florida this year. I don't probably need to tell you that, but 9-2 and 8-4, 17 goals against in two meetings. This Florida team, I tell you, not only do they like beating Columbus, they seem to really like beating them badly. There is a drive in that team this year. Blue Jackets 1-6-1 against Florida last year, 0-2 this year. So, put another way, that's one win in 10 meetings against the Panthers since the start of last season. More news and notes here. Goaltender Daniil Tarasov, probably the Blue Jackets' top prospect, or one of them certainly, right up there with Kent Johnson, hasn't played since January 1st when he started against Carolina. He had surgery on Wednesday in New York to repair a hip injury, and he is out for the rest of the season, facing a six-month recovery. Should be ready for the start of next season. If you add 6 months to this, he should be cleared by the end of August. My sense for something like this, the hip is such a obviously huge part of a of a goaltender's everything. His ability to move, get down, be flexible, all of these things. My sense is they'll probably take it easy with him through training camp as well. The release from the team said that he would be ready for the start of the season. So I would imagine, though, the kid gloves will still be in use for training camp. Neither the club nor Tarasov's agent, J.P. Barry, would divulge exactly what Tarasov's injury was or what surgery was performed. So we don't know exactly the extent of the injury. Six-month recovery is that's a pretty lengthy recovery. And this is a significant injury for a 22-year-old. But best of luck to Daniil. Right on the cusp of becoming an NHL backup here in Columbus, if the Blue Jackets, as expected, move Jonas Korpisalo at the trade deadline. I think the Blue Jackets look at Tarasov and see him as being ready to go as an NHL goaltender, most likely a backup to Merzlikins for at least a year or two. The good news for the Blue Jackets, they won six of the last seven. They're playing as well right now as they have all season, despite all of these injuries. And the guy that's just putting on a show, of course, is Patrick Laine. 12 goals, 20 points in his last 10 games, three game winners. He's out of his mind right now. Everything's going in. He's shooting like 36% from the floor. I'm just saying that as a basketball stat because it reads like it. He's so on fire right now. We'll talk to Pierre LeBrun about Laine. We'll talk about the trade deadline. I want to get his thoughts on the Blue Jackets in general and what he thinks of this job done so far by Blue Jackets coach Brad Larsen in his first year behind the bench. So let's bring Pierre in. We'll get to all of that. We've got a few questions from readers, I believe, as well. Let's get to that conversation now. So joined now by Pierre LeBrun, as we mentioned, with The Athletic, with TSN, NHL National Insider. Pierre, thanks for joining us. Always good to be with you.
An absolute pleasure, Porty. And we set this off air, but let's share it with everyone.
Sure.
Last 5 years, I'd say, you and I would have talked a lot more often because we've been friends for a long time. And,
yes.
And since we both joined The Athletic, we've been teammates. And there was always something going on with Columbus the last 5 years. So it is interesting that we've actually not chatted in a while. So here we go. That's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, well, yeah, you as well. And I appreciate you doing this. I know this is a busy time of year. You probably have, I don't know how your sleep patterns are right now. If you get into that groove before trade deadline, if you got three or four cell phones working, how stressful is it right now? And when does the wave begin to hit? You think it's going to be early this year? There's been a couple of trades trickling in. Or is this going to be like it is every year when the deadline is truly the deadline?
I still think the deadline will be the deadline, if for no other reason that even teams that want to act earlier are telling me that the cap is really preventing that for them. Like, you know, for those listening, and I'm sure you've explained this many times and you've written about it, but the later you go in the year, the easiest it is to shoehorn a cap bit.
Right.
So it really is a big issue. I mean, the pandemic and the effect on the cap is brought a lot of chaos to the NHL.
Yeah.
And so few teams with cap room, although Columbus, not one of those teams. Jackets have got lots of cap room.
That is correct.
But, and I think, by the way, I think that's one of the opportunities that the Blue Jackets have looking way past a deadline, but although maybe at the deadline, but more so in the summer, the Blue Jackets could really exploit some teams that have no choice but to get rid of a good player because of the cap.
Right.
No question about it.
Yeah, or, you know, that or the other way where they've got a player that they just can't handle anymore and is no longer worth the value of the contract, and Columbus could take that along with something else to free them up for other things. I always get the sense that Jarmo Kekalainen has been more willing to do that than he's been able to do that. It just hasn't come together for whatever reason. Maybe we see it this time. When we were speaking before you joined us, Pierre, it wasn't great news. Werenski out for at least a couple of games. Rough news for the young prospect goaltender, but there is good news in Columbus. It's been actually a pretty wild stretch here. They've won 6 out of 7, 8 out of 10, and nobody in the league is hotter right now than Patrick Laine. 12-8-20 over 10 games. He had these stretches when he was young and in Winnipeg. I'm sure the Blue Jackets, and Jarmo hasn't said this explicitly, he won't go there. I'm sure there's enormous relief that he's able to have this sort of stretch again. I bet Laine feels that way as well, because it hasn't been this way for him for a couple of years. What's your sense on Line A? What's his future, period? But what's his future in Columbus? And have things changed with this last 2-3 week barrage that he's been on?
I don't know that things have changed vis-a-vis whether Columbus would entertain moving him or not. I will tell you that I've talked to some sources in a couple of front offices over the last 24 to 48 hours, knowing I was coming on this podcast, and asked them specifically about Line A. And the sense that I got from those front office sources from other teams is that they thought this would be a postseason decision either way for Columbus. In other words, can they sign him to an extension, or do they realize they have to trade him, or they just qualify him and keep him for a year and push that decision further down the road? Those are all the options. But I've yet to hear from another team that said, "Ooh, I think he's going to move for March 21st. I've not come across that evidence. Now, it's not like I've talked to 31 other teams either.
Sure.
In the last of the day, but it's a sample size. And so to me, that makes sense. I mean, I guess, you know, and there's no question Jarmo Kekalainen, I think, is keeping his cards close to his vest to some degree when teams are calling on top of it. But I don't really see the upside in making any decisions on Patrick Laine before this deadline. I mean, one of the problems with the trade deadline is you actually never have the full field to play with. I mean, there are only certain teams that would be willing to take him on now, whereas you get double the size of the market in the offseason for cap reasons. So that's number one. But also, I think every effort's going to be made to sign him long term. I mean, that's number one for sure. You gave up Pierre-Luc Dubois for him. And not that this necessarily has to be the number one reason you go into this with this frame of mind, because I think you can get into trouble with this. But, you know, the Blue Jackets have lost some marquee players, and I think it adds a little pressure to making this work with Patrick Laine. But at the end of the day, can't force a player to sign. So I saw his comments to you recently where he seemed pretty happy in Columbus. And so Patrick Laine has always struck me as a guy who's a man of his word. So that must be how he feels. So that bodes well. But there's some tricky decisions ahead. I mean, let's just start with the qualifying offer to retain his rights. It's $7.5 million.
That's right.
I will tell you that there's a couple of people I've spoken to in other teams who aren't sure that they're comfortable with that QO.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting decision right off the hop. But then again, how do you not qualify him? You can't lose him. Right.
Right.
So, but the point being that, and I'm sure you've thought of this, it does force that decision. It's not like they got all summer to figure this out. It means that they got to figure this out before the QO. Yeah.
Yeah. And what I think is interesting, and I think this is what's at work here, is I think there are people across the league who have a fully formed version in their mind of what Patrick Laine is. And I think in Columbus, you have a GM that's known him for a very long time, and a coach who sees Laine and thinks he can be more than he has been to this point. He is never going to get Selke votes. He is a big bomber with an incredible shot, and that's always going to be the number one item on the Patrick Laine resume. But if you watch him, how he's played this last month or so, I got to tell you, the people in Nationwide Arena come out of their seats for him when they see him skate his ass off and finish a check. And it's, there are inklings like this guy can be more than just the guy that camps out on the left circle with his stick held high waiting for the puck. And so if they think there's more to him than that, and then maybe there's a desire to go long term here with him. The question that I've had, and the people listening to this might be sick of hearing it, but you talk to people, and I'm sure you've heard the same thing, that Laine is such a talent, but he feels like a luxury item rather than the thing you build around. And they're building this thing. And can you build with a luxury item first and go around that? And again, I think some people here think he can be more than a luxury item. That may be where they disagree with some people around the league about that.
Yeah. I mean, listen, he's never going to be a 200-foot player. Right. And I just think that's, once you accept that, you move on. I mean, that's number one. But he's got what he can do goal scoring wise, very few players in the world can do. I mean, his OT winner against Toronto It's not just where he shot it from. It's the fact that he finds a way to get a shot on net when he's hot without defensemen getting their sticks and lanes on him. That's an incredible talent.
Yeah.
I mean, him and Ovechkin and Austin Matthews, there aren't a lot of players where you feel that they're going to get that shot off from there. Yeah. He's one of them. Yeah. And so, listen, at the end of the day, it comes down to what his camp feels, if they're interested in talking long-term, what a fair number is. Because my impression of why things started to go south in Winnipeg, there are more than one reason, I think. But when there had been some preliminary long-term discussions that never got anywhere between Winnipeg and his camp, I think that the number really scared Winnipeg.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So now that was then, and a lot has changed since then. But I think that's something to keep in mind. And there's also going to be some contracts here coming up soon that I think will help Columbus. For example, you know, at some point in the next couple of weeks here, things are going to heat up contract-wise between Nashville and Philip Forsberg. And, you know, not that Forsberg and Laine are the same player, but Forsberg scores a lot of goals. And and so whenever you get fresh evidence and fresh comps, those become very, very intriguing for both the team and the player.
Yeah.
So that's something to keep an eye on, too.
Yeah.
If Nashville's able to sign him, I'm not guaranteeing they will.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And this sort of dovetails into this too, the reset rebuild issue. And Jarmo was quite interesting about this and quite clear about it really for the first time in explaining how he views what the Blue Jackets are going through. And I've always wondered if it was just semantics, if the word rebuild has so many thoughts and feelings attached to it that he just didn't want to use that word. That's not what it is at all. He does not desire this team to hit the floor and be in the Shane Wright category, be in the Connor Bedard category next year. He doesn't think that is an approach to building what he's hoping to build here.
Although for Connor Bedard, it might actually be worth it. But yeah,
I mean,
not that Shane Wright won't be a great player.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
And it's the one thing Columbus has never done, Pierre. We've talked about this. It's been 22 plus years. They've had lots of long seasons in Columbus. But in even those long seasons, they haven't completely bottomed out to get. I mean, think of the players that have been up for grabs in the years where they finished strong, out of contention for those guys. He wants to have a culture here. The Jenner, Werenski, those guys. Bring in young guys with these guys in place rather than bringing in guys and saying, you are the fix here and it's all going to come through you. And he doesn't name the teams, of course, out of respect for those franchises, but Buffalo, Edmonton is teams that have struggled to do this by selling their souls for that great talent. And they did get great talent. But building that up, once you get losing built into your culture, is really hard to do. Mm-hmm. Just your thoughts on reset versus rebuild and where the Blue Jackets may be going with this.
So I'm with Jarmo on this. And I think there's more and more GMs that think like him, by the way. And I'll give you an example that probably hasn't quite been laid out explicitly yet, but will over time, I think, become evident, is that I don't think Kent Hughes and Jeff Gordon are doing a full rebuild in Montreal.
Right.
I think they're going to turn some of that roster over, of course, but I think that they also plan to try and sign some free agents this summer. They want to be competitive while they retool. Yeah. And I think this is the new way that a lot of teams are approaching it. And there's a couple of reasons, you know, I know that there are some owners around the league that are scared to do a full 5-year rebuild, that don't know what the impact will be to their season ticket base if they entertain that, especially coming out of a pandemic. I mean, that has come up a lot in my chatter with front office executives. And, you know, there's some recent interesting examples. Like, I just interviewed Rob Blake for my series of deadline GM interviews. And, you know, he reminded me that, you know, last summer, after a very methodical rebuild in LA, they went out and signed Philip Deneau and traded for Victor Arvidsson. Rebuild was over.
Yeah.
Because it had been enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's time to. So, you know, Detroit and Ottawa are examples of the other route, which is the full rebuild for sure. Ottawa has completely rebuilt their team, a lot of young players. Detroit, complete organic rebuild under Steve Yzerman. But outside of those two teams, a lot of the teams that have tried to reset or retool or regenerate over the last couple of years are trying to do what Yarmo's talking about. And I think it's because there's pressure to win and there's pressure to not go into the abyss.
And, you know, what I was thinking too, the Rangers were down that path as well with their moves, and then said, okay, enough. We're not just going to take our lumps.
Go out and sign Panarin. Yeah.
Look at the Blackhawks, who seemed to be doing this, and then was like, whoa, Seth Jones available. Kaboom. Yeah. Here's a couple of first round draft picks. Yeah. It is interesting how it's changed. I think we have more to go on now about building a team that in that way in a cap environment.
And one of the reasons too, Porty, is even though Detroit went the more conventional route in their rebuild, they never won the lottery.
There's no guarantee.
So it's like, okay, let's, and you know, Detroit didn't tank, to be honest. When I say organic with Detroit, they literally, Steve Yzerman took over a team with zero prospects.
Correct.
And that's okay. The Wings made the playoffs 25 straight years. They should have no prospects. Right. But he very organically had a lousy team that kept finishing last, but he didn't win the lottery. And I think that's something that comes up when I talk to a lot of executives.
Yeah.
You're not guaranteed to get that franchise player, even if you have the worst team.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean, how many teams would tank next year if they knew they would get Connor Bedard?
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Arizona might still be. Who knows? We'll see.
Right.
And you know, listen, Arizona has all kinds of different reasons for what they're doing. I mean, they're completely going scorched earth, but it's not just about rebuilding. It's about the years it's going to take before they build their new rink. There's all kinds of stuff going on there. And so I don't think you can take Arizona and try to bring it into your own modeling, right?
No. Still, we think the Blue Jackets will be fairly active at the trade deadline. Domi, Korpisalo is banged up again. Hasn't had a great couple of years here statistically. Easy for me to say. Maybe Nyquist. He's got another year left on his deal. What are you hearing, Pierre, about the Blue Jackets and the moves that they may be considering as the trade deadline now, less than a month away?
Yeah, and you covered it there. I mean, when I talk to other teams, the guy that the Jackets bring up a lot are Domi and Korpisalo. And I think there's been a lot of effort on Korpisalo. I think they've been ready to deal him for quite a while.
Yep.
There might still be an opportunity despite his year. I mean, you know, I think that the New Jersey Devils, from my understanding, is are starting to make a lot of calls on goaltending. You know, they don't know when or if Mackenzie Blackwood will be back. They lost Jonathan Bernier for the year. And so I think the Devils are on the lookout for goaltending help. You know, on Domi, again, it hasn't been an electrifying offensive year, and he carries a pretty sizable cap number. So, I mean, he will move, but I think he's a great example of what we said at the top, where teams that want to get in on him, I think, have to wait to massage that cap hit. And then after that, I mean, I think what the Blue Jackets can do if the opportunity arises, it's usually more of a summer thing, but you know, if there are hockey deals that help advance what, you know, the Jackets want to look like in September, I think they're willing to do it now, is what I hear from other teams. I mean, I think the Blue Jackets are pretty open-minded, but those are harder to do mid-season. You know, you really have more teams focused on contenders loading up for a playoff run and sellers just looking to unload and set up their offseason. So it's hard to find another trade partner like that. Although, as I wrote recently after my interview with Pierre Dorion, the Senators are looking to advance the offseason. They're looking to make hockey deals. So who knows? I mean, maybe there's another team out there with some similar ideas.
Yeah. And a general thought from you, if we could. The Blue Jackets have been a bit of a roller coaster. They started really hot, hotter than anybody expected, 12-6. Then they sort of played like people expected, plunged for quite a while. Now they're on a serious burner again, as I mentioned, 6 out of 7, 8 out of 10. Mm-hmm. 3 games over .500, beat the Leafs at home in OT the other night. I think they're ahead of what people thought they would be, certainly. I wonder what mm-hmm. the perception on a national level is for how the Blue Jackets have played and the job done by Brad Larsen and his coaching staff.
Yeah, I think they will overachieve myself. I thought they would really struggle this year. And again, part of it was eventually filling those holes. But, you know, they've been incredibly competitive. And, I think what I fear for them is that, you know, over a longer stretch here, I don't know if the offense is going to stay where it is. I mean, they're 11th in the league in goals per game. That's a pretty amazing story. But I don't know how much of that is sustainable, I guess, is what I'm saying. So, you know, I could be wrong on that. And obviously, you know, the goaltending situation right now has to become a healthier one for sure. Right. But the culture and the work ethic is evident when you watch Columbus play. And if that's the biggest takeaway, regardless of how this season ends, that's a pretty positive one. Yeah. Because this was an important year. This is a transition year where, you know, like as you wrote, you know, this is the reset. But that has to be like your players have to buy into that. Like this season has to end. And I think the core guys on this team have to say, you know what? We're not that far. Yeah. You know, we can see how this thing can go here. And if that's the feeling you get at the end of the season, then it's a successful non-playoff year, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah. And I get the feel, I'd be curious your thoughts on this. I think in any other market, not any other market, in a Canadian market, Boone Jenner would be an absolute household name.
He just does everything.
Yeah, and he's so earnest and such a hard worker. He's the guy I think every GM would love to have a guy like this in this team. And, oh, look, he's got 21 goals this year. He's on pace for his second 30-goal season, which just is not supposed to happen for Boone Jenner. He's almost a legendary, mythical figure here in the way that he goes about his work so quietly and earnestly and passionately. Yeah, you got to admire a guy like that, yeah?
Well, you know, he helped beat the Leafs the other night. So those are the type of wins where you get a big market watching.
Yeah, so right.
I think a lot of Leaf fans woke up Wednesday morning knowing who Boone Jenner was.
Yeah.
Although probably more talking about Patrick Laine.
Yeah, and that shot. Hey, Pierre, thanks for your time, man. I really appreciate it. Good chatting with you. And best of luck to you in these next few weeks. I know you're under the gun. It'll be a blast. We'll be watching, and thanks for taking some time to spend with us.
Well, it was great being on, Aaron. And listen, I'm happy for you that you finally get a season where the entire world isn't talking about a fire going off in Columbus.
Yes.
It's got to be nice to just covering hockey for once.
It's been pleasant. A pleasant line of stories, for sure. For sure.
All the best.
Pierre, thanks, man. Thanks, buddy. All right, so that was an interesting conversation with Pierre. Always good to get the national perspective. Loved his thoughts on Laine and what the Blue Jackets might do. It's always good when you get a read and it matches what the national guy is hearing too. You go, okay, the sources are working, doing the job. I still think there could be some surprises at that trade deadline. It's kind of what it's all about. Who knows who's going to be on the other end of the phone calling Jarmo Kekäläinen with his own ideas or her own ideas for what needs to happen for a deal to be sprung. Lots of stuff coming for the Blue Jackets. As we mentioned, Florida tonight, Carolina tomorrow night, and then Pittsburgh on Sunday. And next week is going to be momentous in Blue Jackets land. You know, Rick Nash's sweater is going to be retired on March 5th. That's the end of the week. And that's going to be an amazing night. Think about that night, if you will, just for a second. It could be bananas. If the Blue Jackets continue to play well, that game against Boston, who's currently 8th in the East, holding that last wild card spot, it could have implications. Now, some things need to happen between now and then before that's realistic, but that could be really interesting if that game has meaning on a postseason level. How wild would that be? Obviously, Nash's number going up is huge, but it's also Nick Foligno's return to Columbus. It's also Sean Corrales' first game against his old team, the Boston Bruins. I spoke with Corrales a few days ago. He was jokingly relieved that all of these things are in play, so that him playing the Bruins is going to be the third or the fourth storyline. But not to him. It will have great meaning. So that's something to look forward to. We'll be dealing with that next week, certainly. Rick Nash and his jersey being retired and all the stuff that goes along with that will be the focal point of that podcast as well. Thanks for listening to this. Again, thanks to Pierre LeBrun for joining us. Always appreciate it, and we'll talk to you all next week. Thanks so much. Take care.